Yeah, Rabbi Say, I'm Chevra. If you remember last, or 2 weeks ago, I think last week I was a little bit out of commission. So 2 weeks ago, we learned the Gemara about if I build a sukkah on top of an animal. So in that case, Rabbi Meir says the sukkah is kosher, but Rabbi Yehuda says the sukkah is non-kosher, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be a sukkah ru'uya l'shiva. It has to be a sukkah that can be used for all 7 days of the yontif, because you're not allowed to climb on an animal. So we saw that Rashi understood you can't climb on an animal. Therefore, the sukkah is going to be problematic for the first day of yontif. The other Rishonim seem to say, because there's one day in the middle of the yontif that it's no good, the sukkah is no good. But that's what we spoke about 2 weeks ago, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah has to be sukkah ru'uya l'shiva. So if I make a sukkah on an animal, Rabbi Yehuda says it's no good. Rabbi Meir says it is good. Tonight's Gemara also relates to sukkahs and animals, but instead of building a sukkah on top of like the animal, if this is the animal, you're building the sukkah on top of it, right? But what we have is that I'm using the animal as the wall of a sukkah. That's the discussion in tonight's Gemara. Zakti Gemara. Asar lebehema dofen l'sukkah. If I make an animal a wall for the sukkah. Rabbi Meir posel. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Meir says it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda says it is good. Shahoya Rabbi Meir omer. Kodavar sheyesh bo ruach chayim ein osin osar lo dofen l'sukkah. Lo lechi lemavoi, v'lo pasen lebeiraos, v'lo golol lekever. Right, Rabbi Meir says that anything which has life, kol sheyesh bo ruach chayim, you cannot make it as a wall for a sukkah. You can't use it as a lechi for a mavoi. Right, we've encountered a lechi many times. That's the horizontal. That's the vertical. That's the vertical beam that you use to seal off a mavoi to enable you to carry on Shabbos. That's a lechi for a mavoi. Pase beiraos. What's pase beiraos?
This weird olala regal kula, where you put four posts around the pit of water, the well. That's what it's called.
The well, right? You put four posts around. Technically speaking, you're not supposed to take water from these wells, right? You're not supposed to take water from the well, because that would be like carrying. You're going from Rishus HaYochid outside. What they do is they allow you to build some sort of very primitive mechitza. So it's like four diyumdin. Diyumdin is like a Greek word, do ome, two standing things. So you have four corners, and that is like the primitive type of mechitza that enables the animals to go and get water from the well. Rabbi Meir says that a live animal cannot be a wall for a sukkah, can't be a lechi for a mavoi, can't be pasim lebeiraos, it can't be a golal lekever. Okay, we will have to discuss in a few moments, we'll come back to this one, what exactly is a golal for a kever, we'll get there. Mishum Reb Yossi Aglili Amru af in kosin olav gitei noshin. Reb Yossi Aglili says that you can't write a get on an animal. Rabbi Meir says a live animal is not good for these four things. Rabbi Yossi Aglili adds number five. Zakti Gemara, my taima, Rabbi Meir. What's the reason of Rabbi Meir? What's the reason of Rabbi Meir? So there's a machlokes in Amoraim, a machlokes between Abaye and Rabbi Zeira about what's the pshat in Rabbi Meir. Now, we have to view Rabbi Meir, first of all, based on a general principle throughout Shas, that Reb Meir is chayish lemiuta. The majority of Tanoim are only concerned with a a normal occurrence. Reb Meir is worried about unusual occurrences. That's Reb Meir's statement throughout Shas. Therefore, for example, Reb Meir does not allow a katan or a katana to do chalitza, because of Shema Yimtza Saris. Maybe they'll find out that this katan is a saris, is someone who can't ever mature, develop, etc., in which case there'd be no chalitza in that situation. But Meir's concerned with that unusual eventuality, right? Reb Meir's chayshish lemiyuta. That's Reb Meir's shita throughout Shas. Good evening, Sima. Welcome. The Amoraim, Abaye and Reb Zeira, they have a machlokis about what exactly is this unusual situation that they're worried about. This is probably, and as we'll develop the Gemara a little bit more, this probably relates to a shita that Reb Meir has throughout Shas, which is that he's choshesh for a miyut, but he's not choshesh for a miyuta demiyuta. Right? Now, again, I can't give exact statistical anythings, but the point is Reb Meir is nervous about unusual occurrences. But if it's an occurrence that's like once in a yovel, if it's something that super unusual, so then Reb Meir is not nervous about this. So Abaye and Reb Zeira have a machlokas within Reb Meir. Now, just to bracket this conversation further, what our Gemara is saying is, what's the machlok? Our Gemara is saying is that what's the pshat in Reb Meir, meaning the Reb Meir of Sukkah? We had four statements of Reb Meir, right? A live animal cannot be a wall of a sukkah, can't be a lechi for a mavoi, you can't be a pase beiraos, etc. It can't be a golol for a kever. This conversation is about the sukkah point, and possibly, perhaps, it also is related to the lechi and the pase beiraos, but it should have nothing to do with golol lekever. Right? So now let's get back into it. Zakti Gemara, what's the reason of Reb Meir? So Abaye Omar Shema Thomas. Reb Zeira Omar Shema Tivrach. Abaye says that we're nervous the animal is going to die. You can't make a animal the wall of a sukkah because the animal will die. Potentially it will die. And what if the animal dies? Zakt Rashi. Rashi writes that if the animal dies, Shema Thomas Habehema Biyantiv, Vitipol, the Ein Kandolfin, Vinimsa Batel Mi Mitzvas Sukkah. Right? In other words, this is the animal is going to die. The wall of your sukkah was the animal. Now you are left without a sukkah. And now you're going to be left without, right, a sukkah, and you can't fulfill the mitzvah sukkah on Yontif. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Right? We're worried that the animal is going to die, and therefore you won't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Later on in the Gemara, we'll have other concerns that, you know, we'll talk about later. Oh, so that's Abaye. Abaye says we're worried that the animal is going to die. Reb Zeira says we're worried Shema Tivrach. We're worried that the animal is going to run away. Something else says Bepil Kashur Kuli Alma Lo Pligi De Inami Mayis Yesh Binivlaso Yud. There's no machlokes. Everybody would agree that if you have an elephant and the elephant is tied up, so everyone would agree that is going to be kosher. Because even if the animal dies, you still have a wall, because elephants are really big. And even after the elephant dies, it's big enough to be a sukkah wall. Got it. And you're not worried the animal is going to run away because the elephant is tied up. So the element is tied up, it won't run away. Now, Tosis over here comments, by the way, that this Gemara is stylistically very strange. Look at the Tosis towards the bottom, Bepil Kashur. Tosis writes, Lashon Hashas Mishuna Kan Misha'ar Makomos. Right, the way the Gemara sets it up, the Gemara says, oh, there's no machlekes between Abaye and Reb Zeira about a elephant that's tied up. Right? It's a zakt tosfos. That's like a strange way of formulating it. What we're trying to say is that Abaye and Reb Zeira have a machlokes what pshat in Reb Meir is, and we should give a nafgamina between them. To say that everybody agrees, that would be like a way, if you're talking about like a primary machlokes. If you're talking about a machlokes about like between Tanoim, so now limit it and say, oh, everyone agrees in this case and they're arguing in this case. When you have a machlokes in Amoraim, and the Amoraim are trying to explain the Tana, so usually the way you do it is you say Lomai Nafgamina. Tosis is just saying stylistically, this Gemara is using the devices that we would ordinarily use by a Machlokas Hatanoim. Over here, we're using it by a Machlokas Amoraim within Reb Meir. But let's just take a step back also. Abaye and Reb Zeira are arguing within Reb Meir, meaning Abaye says the animal might die. Reb Zeira says the animal might run away. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Right, Abaye and Reb Zeira arguing within Reb Meir. That would mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're muted.
Well, doesn't he hold it's all kosher?
So it's all kosher. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is not worried the animal's going to run away. He's not worried the animal's going to die. And then you got to ask, why not? No? And that's going to be, that's like the unwritten part of our Gemara. So let's go on. If it's a P.O. kosher, or if it's a tied up elephant, for sure it's good. Even if it dies, you still have Yesh bin Nefloso Yud. You still have a wall. You still have 10 tefachim tall. Keep pleading. The Machlokas is about P.O. she'eino kosher. If you have an elephant that is not tied up. Lamanda Amar Shema Thomas Lo Chayshinon. Lamanda Amar Gizera Shema Tibra Chayshinon. Meaning Abaye would say, I'm nervous that the animal is going to die, but if it's an elephant, even if it dies, it's okay. So not a problem. But Reb Zeira would say, no, it is a problem because it might run away. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Lamanda Amar Gizera Shema Thomas Nechush Shema Tivrach. Anyone want to explain that, Kasha, to me? Lamanda Omar Gezer Shema Thomas, Nechush Shema Tivrach.
Have both concerns.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear?
Oh, you should have both concerns.
You should have both concerns. In other words, how come Abaye is saying, oh, I'm nervous it might die? Well, shouldn't you also be nervous that the animal's going to run away? If anything, and the Gemara will explain more in a minute, if anything, what's more likely, death or running away? Probably the animal running away is more likely, right? So that's the Gemara's kasha. According to Abaye, shouldn't you be worried that the animal is going to run away? Ella, b'pil she'eino kashor kuliyama lo pligi. If it's a elephant that is not tied up, so everybody would say it's no good because everyone would be concerned it's going to run away. Keep pligi. The behema kashura. The machlokes is about an animal that's tied. And by animal, I mean animal, not elephant. A ordinary, plain animal. You're making your dog a wall of a sukkah. Zoe, your dog is for sure too small. That's my guess. But sure, you're making
definitely.
Your dog...
Definitely too small.
So you're making the dog a waver sukkah. If it's a behema kashura, also you have to tie that you leash the dog so that it is now the wall of a sukkah. Lamada regazera shema tomos chayshinon. Lamada amegazera shema tivrach lo chayshinon. We're not nervous that it might run away because it's tied up. But the concern that it might die, we are nervous. So Gemara says, one second, pause. Lamada amegazera shema tivrach. Necha Shema Tamas. How come you're not nervous it's going to die? So the Gemara says what we suggested a few minutes ago, Misa lo shchicha. It's not normal for animals to die. Meaning, even Rabbi Meir, who is choshesh for a miyot, according to Reb Zera, is not choshesh that it's going to die because that would be a miyot lo shchiach. That's a miyuta de miyuta. That's a very unusual case. It's exceedingly rare. So then the Gemara asks, Va'ika ravcha de beni beni, how could the animal possibly serve as a wall, as a dolphin for a sukkah? Don't you have the space between the legs of the animal? And Rashi comments, the space between it means that it's not a mechitza in that area. Right? I'm not sure. I think Rashi might be changing the girsa in the Gemara slightly. The way we have the Gemara, it says the beni beni. Beni beni means between them. Rashi has the words beni kari, between the legs, which is, again, I think it's possible that Rashi is changing the girsa, had a different girsa. And Rashi writes, shehi pirtza, v'apil ki shechaye, even if it's alive, right? It shouldn't be a good mechitza. The Gemara answers, David le'behutza v'dafna, that you have some sort of fencing that you put up between the legs of the animal. Right, it almost like this whole thing sounds like a joke almost. No, it's like a setup. Oh, what about the legs animal? Oh, well, you built a fence between the legs, right? Ah, the grass with Dilma Rava. Maybe the animal's going to bend down. So the man says, oh, no, it's not going to bend down because you tie the animal up. Well, if you tie the animal up, why are you nervous the animal is going to die? Well, the concern is that the animal doesn't get all the way up to the schach, and when it dies, it might fall down too far, and it's going to be more than 3 tefachim away from the schach, and that's the concern. And that's the Gemara. Okay, so let's just make 2 points about this Gemara, and then I want to talk about Golol. This Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Meir, there's a reason why the sukkah made out of an animal is no good, either because it might die, or because it might run away. By the way, lamaskana of the Gemara, this is not the reason for Meir at all. The Gemara in the bottom of Chav Gimel of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph is going to have a totally different pshat in Reb Meir. But for right now, this is the pshat in Reb Meir. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda is not worried that the animal is going to run away. He's not worried that the animal is going to die. Now, it is a little bit strange, no? We had a halacha that if I have a mechitza that wobbles in the wind, that's not a kosher mechitza for anybody. Right? We spoke about this. If you have a wall and the wind blows it, right? We had a discussion last week or 2 weeks ago, right? You pointed out that, like, apparently I don't know pop culture about, like, where is, right? Who took my sukkah? Whatever it is. Like, the wind comes and knocks down the sukkah. It's not kosher if it's a regular wind on the ground. So how could an animal be a kosher sukkah? It could move. And how can Reb Yehuda not be nervous that the animal might move?
Haven't we set it up as all tied up?
And all tied up. So maybe, but the Gemara only says the idea of tying it up according to Rabbi Meir. Uh-huh. This whole Gemara is within Rabbi Meir.
Oh, so Rabbi Yehuda.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, it is grand and amazing. But 1 second, right? If a mechitza that can't withstand the wind is non-kosher, how could it be that an animal is a kosher mechitza, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Dr. Lang.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz. Is it that we spoke last time, though, that there seems to be a distinction between the walls and the scoff? And this is very clearly a walls concern.
Right. But we know that. But again, but that's precisely the point. In other words, everyone agrees that a wall that cannot withstand the wind is a puzzle sukkah.
Well, we haven't said that this wall can't withstand anything. Like, this seems to be, I'm not sure if we've had an equivalent concern of like, what happens if your wall moves? It's not something that it's contingent
on. So the answer is Rabbi Yehuda probably holds that the halacha of a wall notwithstanding the wind, we said a nusach like this when we learned a while back, there are shiurim in a mechitza. A mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. A mechitza also have a certain amount of strength. The amount of strength that's necessary is, right, it won't move. An animal is tall enough. It's strong enough. The fact that the animal is going to walk away on its own, that doesn't matter. By the way, as a matter of halacha, we paskin, people can be a mechitza, no? One of the issues that... Thank you. One of the issues that, one of the questions that people deal with often is on Simchas Torah. You know, so the Torahs are moving the whole time and you're tired. Are you allowed to sit down when the Torah is moving? So Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has the following Eitzah, but he says it only works if you don't tell anyone about it. So the Eitzah is that usually dancing on Simchas Torah, you have like one person holding the Torah in the middle and everyone is around. The people who are around are technically a mechitza. So therefore, I could sit down outside because it's like the Torah is in a different area. Human beings can be a mechitza, but there's a special gezeirah d'rabbanan that I don't allow a human to be a mechitza when the human knows that he or she is being a mechitza. Okay. So that's the idea, though. A human might move, but if the human moves, the human is going to be kosher as a mechitza. The human decides on its own to move. The animal decides on its own to move. But it has the proper shi'ur, the requisite dimension of a mechitza. That would be the simple reading of our Gemara. For some reason, in Shulchan Aruch, it writes what Tanya was saying before. Shulchan Aruch writes that the animal can be a wall of a mechitza when the animal is tied up. And it's a little bit strange because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the animal doesn't seem to have to be tied up. And everyone begins to pull out their hair and say, like, how come you're saying this? It seems to be against the Gemara. But okay, Shulchan Aruch says that, probably to account for our question. Hello, Tanya.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking that it's not necessarily counter the Gemara, because if we want to have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir having a machlokas, then they have to be talking about the same case. So once we've established Rabbi Meir's case as being tied up, maybe it retrojects back to Rabbi Yehuda's case.
One second. According to Rabbi Meir, if it's tied up, I might potentially solve the problem. Remember, Rabbi Meir says it's a problem. Zuck the Gemara.
Oh, right? I see what
you're saying. Tying it up is a way of getting out of Rabbi Meir's
solving it. So then right. You've made them the same position. It's then worse.
Exactly. Next shouldn't happen.
You've turned them into one position and then there's no machloka.
And that should not happen. Right. We know that Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Yeah. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need tying the animals up. Right? For some reason, Shulchan Aruch, very hard to understand. For some reason, Shulchan Aruch understands that the animal has to be tied up. Okay. Difficult. Okay, I want to talk about this issue that a live animal should not be a golal for a kever. So what is a golal for a kever? What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say goal of her kever is?
It's a covering that goes over a kever.
It's the cover of the coffin.
Okay.
Right? According to Rashi, the golal is the cover of the coffin. Now, I do not want to have to officiate this type of funeral where you have a live animal as the cover of the coffin. It's a little weird, but, you know, people now are into their own boutique funerals and like to do it their own way and have fun. So you have an animal, the cover of your coffin, be my guest, right? So an animal does not have the din of golal, according to Rabbi Meir. There's a special halacha that the Gemara learns from a pasuk in Parshas Kukas. So pnei hasadeh means that there's a din of tumah for something that's open in the field. And the Gemara says that teaches me the din of golal and dofak. We'll talk about what golal and dofak is, but within Taisus. But Rashi is saying that a golal is the cover of a coffin. Tosfos, in many places of Shas, asks kashas on Rashi. Over here, and if you would look at the Ritva here, the Ritva presents like the fuller version with all of the kashas that Taisus is asking on Rashi. Over here, Tosis is not asking the kashas on Rashi. Tosis is just jumping in and saying, by the way, I disagree with Rashi. Right? So Tosis writes, Velo golo lekever. So Tosis, Kesham meis munach bekever, meinichen al hakever even gedola listom eschalala, vuhu nikra golol. So what's golol according to Tosis?
This is the covering for the hole in the ground,
which we would call a tombstone, probably.
Is that what it is?
Or, pushback.
I just remember from Hilchos Avelos, when we had learned it, we kind of talked about it as like, oh, are you calling a tomb like the old-fashioned tomb, not a tombstone like our tombstones?
So our tombstone... explain what you're saying.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I have the practice wrong, but they used to put all of the like a vault, and then once the body had decomposed, then they would take out the bones.
Right. So they used to bury people in crypts or something, and then the body would decompose. They would take the bones and put the bones and bury them. So what's the golol? I'm not sure. I mean, that was
the ceiling of that vault thing.
The vault.
Where the body is placed, then to cover
the sarcophagus, right? That's the term.
I don't know these words. Zoe knows these words, but I don't
think that's the word. But like my understanding from Tosfos, and especially the cases that Tosfos brought, is that the primary concern is that we need this golel to cover something that would otherwise be spreading tuma.
So here's my mace. Right, here's my dead guy. And the golol is on top of the dead guy. Now, usually the way we dig graves today in Chutz La'aretz, we put the mace in the coffin. According to Rashi, the golol is the top of the coffin. In Eretz Yisrael, in most places in the world, they will just put a body straight in the ground. Then they'll put like cinder blocks on top of it. Those cinder blocks are the golol, according to Taisus. Mm-hmm. Now, those cinder blocks would serve a dual purpose. Right? They would use this thing as the matseva also. As I have a cinder block on top of, you know, whoever that person is. And you can also write the name on top of it. Here lies Slobodan, right? That's what you could do. So the standard understanding is that according to Tysus, a golal is what covers the grave, not what covers the coffin. That's the way Tosis understands it. And it's called a golal. Now, I should note that most Rishonim have a different approach. It's very similar to what Tosis says. But you have to remember, I thought this is what Tanya was saying at the beginning. They used to bury bodies, and today in Israel, it's becoming more common to save space. They bury bodies inside caves. No? So you have, like, on the side of the mountain, you have an opening, you put the body in. Now, you got a problem because you have to make sure that the body don't come out. So what they would do is, v'galalu es ha'even al pi ha'be'er, like Yaakov Avinu. They would take a big stone and they would roll that big stone to cover up the, what's it called, the cave, so that the dead body stays inside. So that's called golal. It makes sense. Golal is a lashon of rolling. They roll the stone to keep the mace inside. According to this approach, by the way, which is probably linguistically the best approach, so golal is the stone that I roll, but there's a problem, which is if I roll a stone, it could also roll back. So what I have to do is I have to, like, put a block or something, a piece of another stone to hold this stone in place. That's called the dofak. To give you an example, at one point we had a car which couldn't really go into park. It would stay in neutral. You can move into drive. It wouldn't go into park. It was a little bit of a problem because, like, you have to park the car. And if you just leave the car in neutral, like, it could end up rolling away. So what we used to do is we had, like, some bricks. This is like the life of a yeshiva person, no? So you have some bricks in the car. When we park the car, we would take the bricks and move them behind the wheels so that, right? This is the good old. That was the same car, by the way, that once upon a time we parked down, you know, the angle in parking at, like, Amsterdam, like 192nd, 193rd, it curves around. So parked the car there one morning. I was actually running a kollel in Teaneck. I went out to take the car to drive to Teaneck, and I noticed that the cars did not have headlights. They stole the headlights from the car. This is a Washington Heights moment. But that was the car. That was the car that in order to park it, not sure it was a yeshivish car, no? To park it, you had to move the stones and it didn't have headlights. You could buy headlights back. You go to Harome Avenue, you could buy your headlights. It was great. Okay, but let's talk about golol. So according to Rashi, golol is the cover of the coffin. According to Tosis, golol is the thing that is on top of the mace. The thing that is on top of the mace is called the golol. Whether it's on top of the mace directly on top or on top of the mace, in the way of the cave, that's called golol. And then Tosis quotes Mishnayis in Ahalos, right? The Mishnah says, if I have a korah she'asa golol lekever, okay? This is the case as follows. So I have, here's my grave, right? The person is dead inside the grave. And I have a korah, I have a beam. And the beam is the golol for the kever. Bein muta altsida, bein omedes, ein tamei ela kineged ha-pesach. Okay, you could either position the beam vertically, or you can position the beam horizontally. The only thing that is tamei is kineged ha-pesach. The only thing that's tamei is what covers up the grave. But the area off to the side, let's say I have a very big beam, so there's some area over here that protrudes, that is not considered the golal area. It's not keneged ha-pesach, right? This area is not keneged ha-pesach. V'od time tosefta da'ahalos, gal shod sroros, golal lekeva, lekever, hanogea betochar arba tvachim tamei, divrei Yehuda, V'chachomim omrim, einu tamei ela seder hapnimi sarko shokever. Right? The Mishnah in Ahalos speaks about the following thing. Again, this is my grave. I have the person.
This is an Ahalot or this is in Tosefta?
This is the Tosefta of Ahalot. Yeah. Right? The Tosefta of Ahalot says, I have lots of pebbles, which are my covering of the grave. And the pebbles are, I mean, I can imagine, this is like a pretty similar type of thing than the way, to the way we bury people today. Right? So you have pebbles on top. So it's a machlokes. What is the golol? Is it just that lower, the lowest level right on top of the mace? Or is it anything until four tfachim on top is the golol? That's the machlokes. Mashma, dinikra golol masha sotem hechalal. Tosis says that you see from all of these sources that golol is the thing that covers up the halal, the thing that covers up the opening. In other words, not like Rashi. According to Rashi, that golol is the top of the coffin. People don't build coffin tops with beams that go either this way or that way. People don't build coffin tops with lots of pebbles. People don't build coffin tops with animals. Right? If, however, it's the covering of a grave, it's not the top of the coffin, then it makes sense. That's the unwritten part of the Tosis. Tosis then goes on. V'otanya b'tosefta d'ahalos, sof perek shlishi. The end of the third perek of the Tosefta, we have a case, shtei avonim gedolos arba tfachim, shal arba tfachim, shasan golo lekever, hamaho agabe shtehen tamei. Nitla achas mehen, hama agabe shniya, tahar b'pnei shiyish latuma, derech shetetze. The basic idea over here is as follows. To be a golol, it has to be that the whole thing is covered. If I have something like this, so the whole thing is not covered, that means that this area is also not a golol. The Rishonim say, if there's a derech shetetze, if I have an opening even on the side, that means that this is not a golol. A golol has to be the complete cover. Mikohani mashma, shetachat hagolol, kulo halal. You get an impression that the area under the golol is entirely empty. Okay. Then Tosis continues, and he says, va'afagad v'perek behema hamkasha, Nafka tumas golo midichsiv al pnei hasadeh, demasha de ein davar al gabe hagolol, v'omeid megula al pnei hasadeh. Right? We learn golo from the pasuk that says pnei hasadeh. Pnei hasadeh means it's open in the field. Tosis is asking, if the golo is the cover of the grave, so that's not pnei hasadeh, that's not open. It's not something that you notice on the top of the field. So Taisus answers, zimnin de eno megula, ki ahi de gal shel tzreros, de eno tamei ela seder hapnimi. Tosa says, yeah, usually it is al pnei hasadeh. Usually the golal will stick up a little bit, and therefore it protrudes on the field. But sometimes you just have one layer of pebbles. So then it's not noticeable, but most often it is noticeable. Let's just pause for a second. The source in Torah for the din of Golol is the pasuk that says, Al Pnei Hasadeh. Taisvis is bothered, according to my pshat, that Golol is the cover of the grave. How is it pnei hasadeh? Sometimes it's just like a few pebbles that looks like the sadeh. It's not pnei hasadeh. Pnei hasadeh means it like protrudes from the field. It's noticeable. That is the sadeh. It's not pnei hasadeh. So Tosfos answers, yeah, well, sometimes it's not noticeable, but most often it is noticeable.
I'm sorry, Rabbi Schwartz. I just missed something. Can you restate what the halacha is from al pnei hasadeh?
Al pnei hasadeh tells me that the din of a golal is also tamei. Pnei Hasad, that means something that protrudes from the field. Golal is something that protrudes from the field. So there is tuma on the golal.
And that's if it's flat, there's no tuma on the golal?
Again?
If it's flat, there would
so
be
no tuma. So Tysus is bothered by the kasha. If it's flat, there's no tuma on the golal. So Tysus says, no, that's not what it means. Since most often the golal protrudes from the field, so therefore, even if in this one case it's flat, that still is a golal. That's what Tosis is getting at.
Thank you.
But the definition of a golal is pnei hasadeh. So the Rishonim elsewhere ask and say, one second, Rashi, you're saying that the golal is the coffin itself, the top of the coffin. Is the top of the coffin ever al pnei hasadeh? Is the top of the coffin ever noticeable on top of the field? That's the kasha they ask on Rashi. It's a good kasha. So some of the Rishonim say, yeah. Maybe in their countries, they used to bury mesim, something like this. So this is the whole field, and they have the coffin, and the upper part of the coffin protrudes and sticks up. Maybe that's how they buried mesim.
Are they supposing that like this is how they buried like Metim at some point in history? Or this is how Rashi would have understood. Like,
Rashi's understanding the Gemara that.
Yeah, I mean Rashi says it's a coffin, but like, when we have commentaries on Rashi here, are they saying like we think Rashi thought they buried people like this back in the time of the Gemara, or do they?
I think they are. Grasping for straws. They're saying, obviously, according to Rashi, Gola would have to be protruding. But there's another explanation of Rashi, which is found in the Tshuvas HaRashba, which is as follows. We mentioned that in most places on this planet, I actually, last year, Ari Goldman, he was a New York Times columnist. So he was in my shiur in yeshiva last year, because last year we're totally on Zoom. So Ari Goldman decided he wanted to join Smicha. Fine. So I like to talk about like Avelos topics. It makes me happy, whatever it is. Ari Goldman is officially an obituary writer now for the New York Times. He's also a professor of journalism in the School of Journalism. So he's part of Columbia University, has a seminar on death and bereavement. So he got me to present to this seminar about Jewish attitudes toward cremation. It was like a fun topic. And they have all these people at the seminar who just know a ton about different burial practices in different parts of the world, et cetera. Like you were talking earlier about the sarcophagus and how they would bury people that way. The way people used to be buried, and it's clear from the Rishonim, a person would die at home. Today, we die in hospitals. It's not a healthy way to die. Dying at home is a much nicer way to die. They used to have someone who would die at home. Then the coffin makers would come. They would build a coffin, put the guy or the girl in the coffin, take the person out in the coffin, bring the nifter in the coffin to the funeral home where they do the tahara. Then they would take the coffin, bring it to the burial, take the nifter out of the coffin and put it in the ground. The coffin would not be put in the ground. The coffin was for transportation purposes. So says the Rashba in a tshuva, you know what's called Pnei Hasada? The top of the coffin. You know why? Because after they bury the mace, where do you think they leave the coffin? They leave it al pnei hasada, right? You take the mace, you put him in there, and then the coffin is right there outside. And the din is, according to the Rashba within Das Rashi, the din is that a golal is tamei, even though there is no mace in it. The mace used to be in the coffin. Right? The golem was the top of the coffin. The mace used to be there, but, you know, Ignatz is no longer there. Ignatz is now by Grubbin and Erd. He's buried in the ground. But the coffin stores it in the Begoyle. That's where Rashi learns. Tosfos disagrees with this point. What?
Rabbi Schwartz, can I ask a clarifying question on Pnei HaSadeh?
Yes.
Anything that's Pnei HaSadeh is Matame?
The Gemara uses Pnei HaSadeh to teach me that Golal is Tame. The word, the halach of Golal is derived from Pnei HaSadeh.
Okay.
But it seems like the din of Golal has to be something which is al Pnei HaSadeh. So according to Tosis, it makes a little bit of sense. You know, you have like the racks or whatever, the cover of the ground that looks like Pnei HaSadeh protrudes. According to Rashi, that it's the, what's it called? That's the cover of the coffin. How's that Pnei HaSadeh? So some say, oh, you bury it in the way that the top of the coffin sticks out. That's not so likely. The more likely pshat is that they would not actually bury the coffin, but the coffin would still have the din of a golal, and it would be al Pnei HaSadeh. They would just leave it there after the kavura. They would just leave it there.
But if you've been coming up with very creative names tonight, and now I've blanked on a creative name. So if Brunhilde decides to make like a sandcastle in the ground, that is not Pnei HaSadeh, even though it's something protruding from the ground.
Right. It has to be something on top of a mace.
Okay.
Connected to a corpse in some way, right? And that's Pnei HaSadeh.
And in this Teshuvah, what was it? Teshuvah HaRashba. So we're saying that because this, the Aaron had a mate in it and now is Pnei HaSadeh, that's the understanding. Okay, fine.
Exactly. But that's a chiddush. That means that you could be a golal even though there is no longer a mace inside. If you go on in the Tosfos, I just mentioned that Tosfos argues on this point. If we just continue, Tosfos explains that dofik are the stones that support the golal. In other words, so if the dead person is over here, right? So these stones that support this stone, that's called the dofik, right? This is the dofik, that's the golal. Fine. Dofik defakin are the stones that support those stones. That's tahar. Okay, fine. One second. So Tosfos continues, just looking for the line. There's one line in Tosfos where he says that it's only a golal when the mace is inside there. Yeah, in the second wide line. The ein lomar de itzrich hecha de ein hamace bekever. Right, the second wide line in Tosfos. Tosfos says, don't tell me whatever to answer Akasha. It can't be that you're a golal when there's no mace there. The halacha of golal, according to Tosfos, is when they have a mace inside, so the cover of the ground, that's golal. If the mace is not here anymore, they removed the mace, so it's not golal. The Rashba argues on the Tosfos. The Rashba, in explanation of Rashi, is saying that the cover of a coffin is golal, even though the mace is no longer in the coffin. Okay, so this comes up, like Tanya said, in Yerideya, in Hilchos Avelos. So one of the interesting sermons in Hilchos Avelos is called the Matzeves Moshe. The Chaya Adam, the Chachmas Adam, had a son named Moshe, and he died very young, and the Chaya Adam was very moved when his son died. He wrote a book on Hilchos Shabbos called Zichru Toras Moshe, in memory of his son. He wrote a book on Hilchos Avelos called Matzeves Moshe. Rabbi Zon, who is the head of the Chevra Kaddisha in Queens, once spoke in my shul on Zayin Adar, and he pointed out that the whole idea of the Sefer Matzeves Moshe is the Chayi Adam was very upset when they were preparing his son for burial. He felt that like everything they were doing was against the halacha. And it turned, so he wrote this whole kuntras about how to prepare the body for burial and how to go through the whole process called Matzeves Moshe in memory of his son. Every minhag that the Chaya Adam was opposed to are the minhagim that they do in broyers. Like in broyers, their tachrichim are totally different. They have like boots that they put on the nifter. We don't do that. whatever. If you go to any good old Yekesha house, they will have their tachrichim in the drawer next to their bed. The minig is that women who are no longer needles, what postmenopausal women, make tachrichim for people. There used to be a thing. It was like, they're not scared of death. People just make tachrichim. It's like, it's probably much healthier, actually, a much healthier attitude. So the Matzeves Moshe, the Chachmas Adam has a shayla that someone asked him. They wanted to take a tombstone and put it in the shul. It's not like such a crazy idea. No, you can imagine you have a nice tombstone. It says so-and-so, the goyin and the tzaddik. So they want to hang it like on the wall, you know, in the memory of, you know, so-and-so. So now we'll just have the whole tombstone and hang it up in the wall. So somebody else says, one second. A tombstone, isn't that going to be golol? And if it's golol, so kaihanim, it's Tamei Mace, and Kohanim won't be able to go to Shul. So the Chaya Adam in the Kuntras Matzeves Moshe, he analyzes this question. Part of the analysis is that there's a Taisus in Brachas Daf Yotes who says that even though Golol is Tamei, but a Kohen is allowed to come in contact with Golol. Okay. Right? Koshein a Nazir Megaleach Olav, in Kohen Muzar Olav, right, so it could be, there's a din of cherev hariyokacholol, if you have a piece of metal that's in the home with a dead person. So that becomes aviyavos hatuma. Can a kayin become tamei to a spoon that was in the house of a dead person? So it's machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen famously said, Eze bayis asher tivnuli. Right, where can I live? If a kayin is musar on cherev arei kucholol, I can't be in any house because there's always a spoon that inevitably was in the house when people used to die at home. That would happen all the time. So let me just finish the point and then I'll get to you, Zoe. So the Chaya Adam in this Kuntras Matzeves Moshe says, first of all, who says kayhanim can't be in contact with the golol? Second of all, even according to the Taisvis, that golol means the tombstone, it might mean tombstone only when the tombstone is right on top of the mace. But when you have a tombstone that's on top of the blocks, that's not a tombstone. Moreover, he says, who says golol is tamei when the mace is not underneath it? Our Taisvis says golol is tamei only when the mace is underneath it. Aye, what about Rashi? Rashi says that golol is tamei even though the mace is not there. So the Chaya Adam says, yeah, but all these other sfeikos are reasons why you could technically put the matzeva up in the shul. Now, it might be poor taste, but as a matter of halacha, it is not a problem according to that matzeves moshe. Zoe, now I'm ready for you. Yeah.
Great, thank you. Why would we ever think that a golel, like that a kohen couldn't go by a golel? Like my understanding of a kohen's permitted is forbidden from being around a mace, fine. But are we concerned about objects that have tuma transference from a mace being around a kohen? Like that seems very.
I mean, again, a kohen can't become tamei la mace. V'chol asher yiga al pnei hasadeh b'chalal cherev o b'mace o be'etzam adon o b'kaver. Right, the Torah says that a kohen should not be tamei to all of these things. Again, we have to be careful. So there are two parashios. Parshas Chukah speaks about Tamei Meis. Parshas Emor speaks about the Isser for Kohen to become Tamei to the Meis. Whether they are exactly the same or not is a long conversation, but intuitively, people think that it's all the same.
Okay, so with that understanding, we're saying a Golel, in fact, has the same level of Tumah as a Meis.
Correct. I mean, it's Tamei Meis. It's not Avi Avos HaTumah.
That's my question.
It's an Av HaTumah. It's not Avi Avos HaTumah, yeah.
That was my question. Thank you.
Okay. So this is the exciting topic of Golol. There you have it, Chevra. Okay. So,
Rabbi Schwartz?
Yes.
You had said a phrase that apparently is a known phrase, but I didn't know it. Do you mind to repeat it? Something like Nazir Shegoleach.
Kol tuma she'ein ha-nazir migaleach olav ein ha-kohen muzhar olav.
Thank you.
Right. If remember a kohen,
where does that come
nazir,
from?
Right, a nazir should not become tamei meis. There are rules of the type of tuma that a nazir can't come in contact with. So there is a statement that any tuma that a nazir can't come in contact with, a kohen should not come in contact with. The shaila is: do we hold of that lahalacha or not? That's the issue that Tosis in Brachas Yud Tes addresses.
Thank you. Leaving that last line from the Tosfot and Brachot about how people would use an animal as a golel until they could get the rock there?
So apparently that's what they did. Yeah. I mean, it was... Right. Yeah, I forgot that I assigned that Tosis. It's weird. Yes, but that's what they did. No, I think it's probably like some sort of marker. But remember, they are burying people like in the middle of a field somewhere. So how are you going to remember exactly where you put the thing, the corpse, right? So you put your animal there. You tie the animal up on the stick and like it runs around and that reminds you where it is.
That just seemed like the perfect tie-in to the start with the tied up elephant.
Absolutely, right. Okay, Chevra, thank you for learning. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz.
We're Schwartz. Yes. I don't know how it's related or unrelated, but when I was in Israel for the year, we had a class where we literally went around Yerushalayim looking at things like in the Gemara or Tanakh, and we spent a lot of time looking at burial caves, Bayit Rishon versus Bayit Sheni and all that stuff. It doesn't seem, at least at those times, that they were burying people in, maybe the poorer people, but the richer families had like these burial caves. So I don't know.
So again, that's what we mentioned, that Golol might be the rock that they rolled in to protect the burial cave. That's why the simplest understanding of Golol is that you roll a rock and you keep it in place to make sure. Yeah. But.
Okay. Right. I don't know.
There is definitely a conversation though in Mod Katan about how you're concerned about how you might find bones of corpses in fields, and so you need to mark locations so that your Kohanim are not going to walk through it.
Right. I mean, yeah, those are real sugyas and shas, absolutely, yes. Okay, Chevra, have a good night. Good Shabbos, take care.
Thank you.
Shabbos.